She's proudly from the Slurpee capital of the world. I'm sure she ate at the legendary Kalekas restaurant. She knows what a genie's cake is, and she understands the importance of a good hot tub in winter. Chantel Kreviazic is joining. See what I did there? Do you like that, Chantel?
Okay, wait. You said Slurpees? What was the next couple
things? Okay, so the Slurpee capital of the world. You probably ate at the legendary Kalekas restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
And she knows what a genie's cake is.
Yeah.
And then you understand the importance of a good hot tub in winter.
Absolutely. All those things are huge values for me. I'm sad that Kalekas is gone. That's kind of gross, but...
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I don't understand how that happened, but okay.
I know. But Chantel Kreviazic joining us on the line. And you realize that everything that we've just talked about, most people are going, I don't get it. What's funny about that?
Well, you know, I'm sure every town and every region has all these little, you know, things that are personal to them. And it's so neat when I travel throughout, you know, North America and beyond, I'm always meeting Winnipeggers, and it's so nice because you can just sort of bond and be family in an instant, you know, and in a place far away. It's pretty cool.
It is. And, you know, it's funny, too, because there's that Winnipeg connection, right? Somebody always knows somebody from Winnipeg or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so,
sure.
What would you say would be the biggest highlights about the city? Like, if somebody were to ask you, okay, tell me about Winnipeg, you know, what would you say?
Well, I'm a big fan of the Forks, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. I love going there, and I always stay there when I'm home. And, you know, there's so many things that I love about being at home, and it's the peace, actually, now that I love. Like, I love how... You know, my parents live sort of outside a little bit, just kind of at the edge of the city. And, you know, we go for country drives and go to Half Moon Hot Dog, get a Half Moon Hot Dog. And all these things that just seem so idyllic to me now. I love my time at home because it really grounds me and I just sort of get really zen.
We should explain, though, to people that the Forks isn't like a utensil or a restaurant. It's actually like a national park in Winnipeg. People might not get that if they're not familiar. But
yeah, it's where the trade kind of culminated. Is it the Red and the Assiniboine? They connect in that spot or something? I have no idea.
Yeah. But it's just, and it's usually underwater in the spring because of all the flooding. But
that's correct.
And you know what you say about Winnipeg just being slower paced, right? I know you live, you know, you're in Toronto, and you've had such a fast paced life. But Winnipeg, when you come home, it's just kind of a slower, relaxed vibe.
Oh, God, it's great! I find it just so relaxed, and I really like it a lot. I mean, I don't love how cold it is, and sometimes the mosquitoes get on my nerves when I'm there in the summer. But yeah, if you can get around those issues, you can do pretty good.
So then the next natural question I have is, are you a Jets fan? Because, again, you live in another big city. Like, what?
That's a huge draw now. I think it's fantastic. I mean, we were at the last game when we lost the team at the funeral, and then I got to come out and sing the anthem at the first game when we got the team back, and that was a real honor for me because I was, you know, born and raised there, and I grew up under those stands in the arena. I think I went to almost every game with my family, so it's pretty special.
Let's talk about how your life has gone. So your family, very well known in Winnipeg, and then you've got this, you know, amazing music career and the most adorable family of your own. Can you, like, sum up your life in one word and the journey you've had?
Oh, wow, one word. Well, definitely really lucky. Mm-hmm. I think your luck starts when you're born. And so I obviously grew up in a place that gave me a lot of foundation to build on. You know, just having, for example, the Conservatory of Music in my life. Mm-hmm. But even before that, I had musical relatives, and music very much was a strong value. I think we all have music in our DNA to some degree, for sure. But, you know, there was such a big value for my maternal grandparents and on my dad's side as well. There was just music kind of really all around me since I was probably in my mommy's belly. So I'm really lucky. I built my life around music. And for all my mistakes and for all of my childhood traumas and either related to whatever, everybody has, you know, their own stuff in their childhood for sure. But regardless of if those traumas came from, you know, within myself or family dynamics or school or whatever they were, music was something that always was there for me. and always with my healer and my sort of life tool, and it really became me. So in that respect, I think, you know, I know I'm not describing my life in one word, but certainly music has been at the center of everything that has been good in my life. It's been my therapy, it's been my education, it's been my motivation, it's been my inspiration, and it's been my identity, and to some degree it's my legacy. So I really have that to thank, and again, you know, it started with where I was born and who I was sort of born unto.
That one word ran a little long. We've got to get back to the music board with Chantel Kreviazuk right after this.
Today's best music with Jeremy Bradley.
We are back talking with fellow Winnipegger, Chantel Kreviazuk, and just having a laugh. Now, let's talk about your music. At the beginning of the video for I Will Be, you talk about how music did get you through, like, sadness and stress. Was it just listening to music? Were you writing music? What was it? Like, how did music?
Well, yeah? I really was very passionate when I was listening to music. I can think of, you know, whether it was Tori Amos or Kate Bush or Neil Young or any of these big records, you know, that I mean, my first LP I ever bought was Joe Jackson, Jump and Jive, you know, and then a Fleetwood Mac record, Rumors. I was so passionate. I can remember when the Police were on fire, you know, when I was 12 years old, and it was just all about Synchronicity. And then I got into all my brother's old records from before. They were super, super commercially successful. And you know, but then I loved, like, Madonna and Janet Jackson and Michael Jackson, and then you know, Friday Night Videos and Prince.
Yes.
You know, I remember the the world premiere of Prince's song "Little Red Corvette" on Friday Night Videos, and I was so into them. Then I also equally loved going and sitting at the piano and exploring what would come out, you know, from within. And so, yeah, there was definitely both dimensions.
Did you write any of your chart toppers when you were a kid or going through something as, like, a teen?
Yeah, actually, Surrounded. I wrote Surrounded when I was just sort of 19 or so. And that was about a Winnipegger that I had really, you know, loved. And he had a kind of quick turnaround with, I think, probably schizophrenia or something, and certainly a mood disorder, and had a lot of sadness and confusion, and he ended up taking his life, and that was really traumatizing, I think, for everybody. And so I wrote the song Surrounded about him. And there's other songs that I would probably even now still, I mean, to some degree, you know, I mean, like Jim Morrison, you know, the poems he wrote when he was in grade 5 that are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or whatever museum. You know, his writing didn't change that much throughout his career, and I can relate with that. Like, the way the melodies that you write, the sort of intonations and the rhythms that your melodies kind of fall into, that's kind of who you are, you know. It's like people say that the way you run or jog, you have your own pace. I think we all have our own little kind of meter, if you will, and so I'm sure I'm always sort of building from there, and certainly things, you know, they shift, they pivot, they go one way or another, but I do think that I kind of have a style, you know, that I've always written in.
We will have more with Chantel Kreviazuk right after this.
Today's best music with Jeremy Bradley.
Jeremy Bradley here, back talking with Chantel Kreviazuk, the life and times of Chantel Kreviazuk, let's say. When people live in, you know, a city like, let's say, Winnipeg, and then you see these people who make it big, right? Like, the Guess Who, or who, you know, whoever it is. And then, you know, as a kid, though, did you ever kind of sit there and go, that is going to be me one day? And then now that it's happening, you're just like, holy crap.
Well, no, because, you know, music for me was so real, like, since I was, like, born. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I was a weirdo. Like, you know, my husband is, his way of becoming a musician is so much more, to me, it makes more sense. It's like he was sort of 16, and he kind of was like, wow, I really love that band, and I love what their message is, and here, I want to try and play that, and then sort of self-taught, you know, guitarist, and I get that. But mine was like, I was three, then I would just go and play music back. Anything that was on Sesame Street, I went to the piano and I played it. So I was like a weirdo, you know? I would go to the movies, and I'd come home, and I'd go to the piano, and my parents would, you know, whatever, go to the kitchen and make tea, and I would be playing the score from the film we'd just gone to, whether it was E.T. or, you know what I mean? Like, that, I was like that kid. So I think I was probably just a real music nerd. Like, when the party ended when I was a teenager, I was sitting at the piano, and, you know, they were getting me to play songs from the radio. I wasn't thinking about stardom. Like, I think now people, what has been lost by the Kim Kardashians of the world, never mind that you shouldn't become famous for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess you got famous for something, but the thing that is lost is process, you know? I think that being inside the moment is really where the reward is and where the joy lies. And so if you can be there, you know, let those other things come, you know, success or promotion. They may come, they may not. You got to try a bit, you know, because you don't want to end up in your basement just whatever, playing music for yourself or hanging your own art on the wall and staring at it and enjoying it by yourself. You do want to share it, and you have to develop a skill set for that. But I am more focused on the process. That's where I live. And more and more so as I get older. I just love it. Like, I'm recording right now with my husband. We have a project we're doing called Moon vs. Sun. And, you know, I just love it because I haven't been in the studio really that much making my own music for several years. Never mind making music with my husband. I haven't ever recorded, you know, an EP or anything with him. So being in this process, I'm just cherishing it. I'm enjoying every second of it.
And you've written or co-written for a lot of, like, huge names in the music industry. Let's name drop for just a second, okay? So you've written for who?
Well, I have a song out doing well with Kendrick Lamar right now, and that became the Beats commercial, and we just did it on Saturday Night Live at the end of last year, and that's one of my favorite, certainly one of my favorite collaborations of my life with Drake. I've worked with, you know, Gwen Stefani, Kelly Clarkson, Pink, Josh Groban. Oh, God. I mean, so many people. I can't even remember. Avril Lavigne. I know I'm missing people for sure. Carrie Underwood. Christina Aguilera, Pitbull. Lea Michele. Yeah, lots of people.
just a few. If you could, like, duet or write for, you know, any artist alive or dead, who would it be?
Oh, God, I don't know. My husband and I just did a show with Neil Young and Feist and a couple other people for the Blue Dot Tour. We did a couple shows. And just being on a stage, you know, with him was incredible. He's one of the best artists I've ever known or known of or seen live. And that was incredibly... That was sort of a big highlight. Not to say I would even say I want a duet with. I don't even think that way. I don't know. I don't really like have dream up who I would want to. You know, to be honest with you, what I'm doing with my husband right now is kind of a dream come true because it's been 10 years in the making. Sorry, 20 years in the making. But to be actually starting our own project together and duetting, that's really, really incredible.
Now, you have lots of, like, tour dates coming up. You're going to be all over the place. So the info is on your website, right?
Yeah, it should be. I have put up the Moon vs. Sun dates. We're doing some Moon vs. Sun dates in Ontario, Quebec, and where else? We have one in Nova Scotia. Yeah, we're doing a bunch of stuff together as Moon vs. Sun already, even though the EP's not out. But I'm hoping very soon we put a single out. And then I'm also doing a Chantal solo tour, kind of Ontario. There's, I don't know, maybe 15 dates or something like that.
Well, hopefully the dates match up and we can connect, like, in Winnipeg because, you know, we're both out of the city so much.
That'd be really nice.
That would be fun. Okay. Well, so Chantal Kraviazic, your website address is?
ChantalKraviazic.com.
Oh, that's really creative. Really creative.
And also, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I tend to engage. I like it.
Chantal's my new Twitter buddy, just so you guys know.
Yay.
All right, well, fellow Winnipegger, Chantal Kraviazic, thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Today's best music with Jeremy Bradley.